This is BC Worldwide, a podcast of overseas instruction and counseling. We report on the biblical counseling movement around the world. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers. You can learn more about BC Worldwide on our website at bcworldwide.org. There you can read articles and listen to podcasts that tell the stories of God's grace through biblical counseling. Now, you can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BC Worldwide. Now, today, I have the privilege and joy of sharing God's grace through biblical counseling in the country of Japan. I'm here today with Tuck, and this is Tuck Hayashi. He is the pastor in Uchinada, and I want to make sure I pronounce these correctly, but Uchinada Bible Church in Ishikawa, Japan. Tuck, it's great to be with you today.
Nice to meet you.
Now, we want to talk a little bit about you, your family, and ministry, and a little bit about how you came to faith in the Lord, and also just how you got introduced to biblical counseling and OIC, and how that all that is going. So could you start by just sharing with us a little about who you are, if you could pronounce your name the right way, and what church you're pastoring, and then just introduce us to your family.
Sure. So my full name is Takayuki Hayashi, and people usually get scared when they hear that big name. So people usually call me by my first three letters of my name, just Tak, to keep it short. And I am currently married to my wife, Sarah. She is from Canada, from Calgary. And we met at Bob Jones University when we were students. And I'm very thankful for how God brought two of us together. And because he's from Canada, we moved to Canada as well. And I pastored two churches there in Canada for about 6 years. And then we are now missionaries here in Japan, serving at Uchinada Bible Church, which is on the northwest of Japan. You mentioned about my family. I have four children, and a 9-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old. Two boys and two girls.
And so as you and I were talking just a moment ago, that keeps you pretty busy.
Yeah, life is pretty busy with the children, yes.
Now, what are some things that you all like to do as a family?
So, you know, our family, we like spending time outside, and we have a little garden in our yard. So we go outside and we plant different vegetables. We have different fruit trees now, and we're looking forward for a great harvest in the future.
All right. That's great. And you were, so you spent some time in Calgary. Is that where you spent most of your time of ministry?
Okay, great question. So my wife is from Calgary.
Okay.
But when we graduated from Bob Jones University, you know, I have a burden for the Japanese people. So when we decided, you know, where should we move in Canada? You know, we thought about moving to Japan right away after graduation, but we asked different pastors, some of our counselors, and they said, you know, Sarah is not able to speak the language yet. And we just got married. We just finished school. There's a lot of changes. So the recommendation was maybe move to Canada first. We weren't able to live in the U.S. because we were not citizens there. And we first looked at where are the most Japanese people in the country of Canada. And then we found that it was Metro Vancouver area. So that's why we decided to move to Vancouver. And yeah, that's how we ended up in Vancouver for ministry.
So you graduated from Bob Jones University. And you got married after college. Is that right?
That's right. So I graduated university, and then I did pastoral studies, a master's degree at Bob Jones. And after that degree, Sarah and I got married.
And you've been married 10 years.
That's correct. Yes. We just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so you're now, so you lived in Vancouver and you're doing pastoral ministry. So let's back up a little bit. Now we have a better idea of just God's grace in your life as far as bringing you and your wife, Sarah, together and giving you and blessing you with four active children. And so let's go back up a little bit. How is it that you came to saving faith in Christ?
Sure, absolutely. It's going to be a little bit of a long story, but you know, my mother was the very first Christian in our whole family, like generations. And my mother came to a saving faith when she was in high school. And she was studying English, and her English teacher was a missionary from the US. Now, through that, she asked him a question, and she was learning English through a radio program. And the phrase for that day was, "What brought you here?" And that's the phrase that she practiced on her English teacher. And English teacher said, "Hey, this is a great opportunity." And he shared his saving faith, how he came to know the Lord and why he is in Japan to share the gospel. And eventually, my mother accepted Christ as her personal savior. And because of that, my mother brought us to church almost every week. However, I personally did not come to a saving faith until I was in university. And when I was in Japan my whole life, I was attending church every week, but I got baptized for the wrong reasons. You know, it was all head knowledge. And when my mother asked my brother, you know, "Do you want to believe in Jesus and get baptized?" And then brother said yes. And my mother was happy. And I said, "Oh, now I want to make her happy as well." And I said, "Oh, hey, I'm going to get baptized too." And I did not really repent of my sins and put faith in Christ alone for my salvation. And I was in high school. You know, I even considered committing suicide. I was very depressed. I was very lonely. I had many different idols in my heart, like getting a good grade so I can go to a very good university. So as a result, I was very depressed in high school, and I became very rebellious. And I was tired of living in Japan. I actually did not want to live in Japan anymore. I wanted to just leave the country. And that's when my mother found a Christian university that I could go to, and that was Bob Jones University. And I knew it was going to be a very strict university, a very strict Christian school, but I didn't care because I didn't want to live in Japan anymore. And that's how I ended up in Bob Jones University. And the first year of my university there, I put a mask on, you know, a smile on my face. However, I was still very lonely inside, very empty. And my sophomore year in university, I met a man whose name was Adam. And he was about 8 years older than me, but he took me under his wings and started to disciple me and do Bible studies with me and do biblical counseling. And that's how I, through those multiple meetings, these Bible studies that we did together, these meetings were about 2 hours long. And Adam was so busy. I mean, he had a girlfriend, he was busy with a full load at school, he was also working, but he sacrificed his time to disciple me and to give me biblical counseling. And through those multiple Bible studies that we had together, I finally understood. We studied the book of Hebrews together, and I finally understood that Jesus is God and that he died for my sins. And I remember one night I was in my bed and asking God, "God, now I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to put faith in Christ for my salvation." And with tears flowing down from my eyes, I finally understood, yes, now I am saved. And I have an eternal hope of salvation. And after that salvation, I went to Adam. I remember this. I told Adam, "Thank you so much, Adam, for spending time doing these Bible studies with me. I thank the Lord for you." And Adam, he put his arm around me, around my shoulder. He looked at me and he said, "Tuck, no." And I said, "No, what do you mean?" Adam said, "No, you know what, Tuck? God answered my prayers. I have been praying that God will bring someone into my life that I could reach out to and do a Bible study with. God has answered my prayers." And I was like, wow, you know, we give all the praise to God. And my prayer now is that God will bring into my life people that I can disciple, people that need biblical hope, care. And that is why I'm here in Japan, and this is why I'm involved in the Ministry of Biblical Counseling.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So
It sounds as if you were introduced initially to biblical counseling because somebody opened the scriptures and explained them to you in your walk of life.
Yes.
And so that's where it started for you. And so it sounds like you wanted to pass that on to other people. And so you got interested, and then just where did that take you from there?
Okay, great. So after I came to a saving faith, God started to burden me that there are so many people around me who needs this help. And now I started to take other people underneath my wings and then doing Bible studies with them and listening to their problems. And God started to convict me more and more. Is this something I want to do full time? You know, has God called me to do this for the rest of my life full time? And I traveled on different mission trips one summer. Actually, in one summer, I did 3 mission trips. Mm. So we went to New York City, we went to Canada, and then I went to Singapore and Malaysia. And then through those
ministries
that I was involved in just one summer, 3 months, I went to 4 different countries.
Okay. All right.
And well, that was life-changing for me. I was able to see the power of the Word of God changing the lives of people. And I remember I was talking to a man from a church, and he called me, he asked me, "Hey, Tuck, what is your major at Bob Jones University?" And I told him, "Well, it's international business." It's still my sophomore year, right? And that's my freshman year. I wasn't a Christian. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to be a business major. I want to make a lot of money." And my sophomore year, I went on these trips, and this guy said, "Hey, what is your major again?" I said, "International business." And he told me, "Son, you missed your calling." And I was like, "What? What do you mean by that?" I was offended. And then God started to really convict me. Wow, you know, God has called me to give my whole life to Him in full-time ministry. And after that, I was already a junior by then. And I was almost finished with my degree anyways. So I said, okay, I'm just going to finish my degree. And after I graduate my undergrad, I'm going to go study the Bible to become a pastor full-time.
Wow, that's great. And so as you got into the pastoral ministry, you get right into people's lives. You learn about people's lives. You're preaching the word. And so,
yeah.
So that captivates your heart. That captivates your desire. I'm assuming that biblical counseling then is really shaping your pastoral ministry in Canada. And so now you're thinking about coming to Japan. And
yes.
So as you're coming to Japan, what's on your heart? What is it that you really want to accomplish in the country?
Okay. Well, you know, there are so much need here in Japan, and I don't know where to start. Let me give you some background about Christianity in Japan first. So they say that 95% of the people in Japan have never heard the gospel. 95%, that's huge. That's like the opposite of the US. The population of Japan is about 120 million people. So that's about 1/3 of the US. And when you bring all the islands in Japan together, it's about the size of California. So imagine 1/3 of the population of US in California, and then 80% of our country is just mountains, right? And then you have 12% lake and rivers, right? And farmland. So imagine trying to fit 1/3 of the population of US in maybe 8% of California. You can imagine how packed it is. And most of the people have never heard the gospel. And the number of Christians in Japan is decreasing very rapidly. So according to Operation World, Christianity in Japan is decreasing, about, I think it's the second or third fastest in the world now. Now, the reason for that is because the aging population may be one of the reasons. So the average age of the pastor is considered to be about 70 years old. That's shocking. And not only that, the average age of the congregation in Japan is a little bit under that. It's close to 70 as well. And then they say that 89% of the population 89% of the Christianity in Japan is over the age of 50. So you can imagine in 30 or 40 years, if nothing changes, 90% of the Christians will disappear in Japan. Like shocking numbers, right? So God has really given me a burden that, you know, I want to reach the lost here in Japan. I want to be able to, I want to give the gospel to as many people as possible in the U.S., in Japan. And here's some of my background. I was bullied when I was in middle school. I was very depressed, thought about committing suicide. In high school, my idol was just study, study, study. And that's the case of a lot of people in Japan. And they were, and I became very rebellious, right? And as a result, I was not socially acceptable. There was no place for me to go to. And there are, and that suicide rate in Japan is one of the highest in the world. People desperately need biblical hope, counseling. And that is one reason why I am so passionate about biblical counseling as well, because there are so many people in this country, they've tried psychology counseling, many different types of counseling, but it has not given them hope. And they really need biblical hope. And I believe, you know, we can use the word of God to be able to reach all these people in Japan who are really struggling. So, you know, you asked a great question. What do I want to do in Japan? So first thing is, I really want to give the gospel to the lost people here in Japan. Secondly, there are those people who are really depressed and thinking about suicide, and we want to give them biblical hope somehow. And three, I think Christians in churches are really struggling, and they are, I know they are depressed. They also need counseling, and they need to be spiritually healthy to be able to serve and minister and go out and give the gospel and make disciples. And I think that's the reason why Christianity in Japan is just so low in numbers, and Christianity is decreasing so fast in this country.
Yeah, you mentioned just the fact that there's a number of Christians who are broken down in life. They are caught. We just think through Galatians 6. They're caught in trespasses and sins. And in some cases, it's not because of active, intentional rebellion, because they're genuine believers. They want to pursue righteousness. They want to pursue holiness. They just don't know how. And they're caught in particular sins and particular issues, and they don't know how to get out of that. And I've often thought, and just kind of get your thoughts on this, Jesus talks about the fact that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How many of those workers are broken? How many of them are caught in trespasses and sin that are in need, not of the professional, but they're in need of the spiritual friend, the spiritual person who's going to come alongside them and restore them? And so it sounds as if, you know, you have caught on to recognizing that biblical counseling is also very helpful and very strategic and very necessary when it comes to freeing up and equipping the workers for the ministry so that the church is building itself up and it is proclaiming the good news of Christ where they live and work and play and so on and so forth. And so it's
you mentioned a very good point. Let me answer some of that question that you asked right now. So, you know, the pastors in Japan are really struggling. The reason why they're struggling is because, you know, their age as well. I mean, they're older now. Like, I know so many pastors who are 70-year-old and 80 years old, and they don't have, like, the energy that they used to have, and they're not able to meet the needs of the congregation. And these pastors are only preaching on Sunday, preaching on Wednesdays, and that's it. They're not able to take on the labor of the ministry. And secondly, the church congregation in Japan are just so small. The average size of a church in Japan is said to be about 30 people. Can you believe that? So if you have only 30 people in the church, and then the average age is close to 70. Most of them are retired as well. They're not able to support the pastor's income. So a lot of the pastors I know who are in Japan, they are working another job. So they're just too busy. They're working a job, preparing messages for Sunday, Wednesday prayer meetings, and they don't have enough time to meet the people in the congregation. And even if they want to meet the people in the congregation, people are just so busy in Japan. I don't know if you've heard how how much they're workaholics in Japan. And people are like, the husbands are working, the mothers are also working these days, are working from like 7 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning, and they come back home at 8 or 9 p.m. at night. And you can imagine, they're just so busy that they don't have time with their kids, and they don't have time for ministry, and they don't have time to come together with other believers and encourage one another, like you just said, and edify each other. And that is not happening. So there is such a great need in here, in this country, for the church members to learn how to do biblical counseling so they can help the pastor, because the pastor is just too overwhelmed in churches in Japan now.
So that brings up another opportunity that I think you have been going after as well, and that is, not only are you wanting to practice the ministry of God's word in people's lives, bringing the all-sufficient word to bear on the brokenness and the issues of people's lives, but you want to train and equip others to do that as well. So can you speak a little bit about just the heart you've had for that and what you've done in response to that?
Okay, great. So, you know, my burden is really for the churches in Japan and the pastors, because if the pastors and the church is healthy, then they're able to minister to the needs of the community, right? They're able to go out and make disciples and share the gospel when they are living, you know, if they're abiding in Christ, you know, there is going to be fruit, as Jesus said in John chapter 14, 15. So, you know, that is really my desire, to see churches healthy and the pastors as well, to be able to meet the spiritual needs of the congregation. And I know they are so overwhelmed, so I want to help the church members to meet each other's needs by doing biblical counseling for one another. So I am really so thankful for OIC, Overseas Instruction and Counseling, and the ministry that you do for the countries around the world and now in Japan. And I met Dr. Joe Miller at Canyon Hills Community Church, and that was about 2 years and a half ago. And I visited that church not for the purpose of meeting Joe Miller, because I didn't even know that he was there. I was still raising support so that I could do full-time ministry in Japan. So I was meeting the missions pastor at Canyon Hills Church, and the mission pastor told me, hey, you know what? I know Joe Miller, who is really passionate about biblical counseling in Japan. Joe Miller has been in Japan for already 2 years, teaching biblical counseling at Tokyo Baptist Church. That's a church in Tokyo. And that was the first 2 years of doing biblical counseling training in Japan. And I said, really? And where is he? And this mission pastor said, you know what? He's just down the door. And it's just in the same building, in the other room. And I was like, really? I would love to meet him. And so I went over to Joe Miller's office. And you know what? His office was not set up yet, right? Because he just became a new pastor there at that church. He just moved, and he's just bringing his things in. And I just happened to meet Joe Miller there. And we started talking just for a really short time. He told me about his passion, his vision for biblical counseling in Japan. And I was just really on board right away. I said, when can you come to our church? And I said, we're on the west side of Japan. So Tokyo is on the east side. Where we are located is on the west side. And the west side of Japan, it's on the Japanese seaside. It's considered the most difficult place to reach the lost in Japan, right? When you look at the whole country, we have the fewest Christians on the northwest of Japan. And I said to Joe Miller, please, we desperately need biblical counseling. The pastors need to be trained in this. The church leader, church members have to be trained in this. Please come. And I think Joe Miller came just the following year. Maybe it was just 6 months later. And he came to our church. He did an introduction in biblical counseling. We had a lot of pastors from the local area come. And then we said, hey, we need this. Let's do this. So for the last 1 year, we've done 1 year of biblical counseling training at our church. And we have opened it up to the churches and missionaries around Japan. And the first module, I think we had about a little bit over 100 people come and to be trained in biblical counseling. So we finished module one, we finished module two, and we're planning to have module three this year. But because of COVID, we have to postpone everything. And Lord willing, we're going to have it again next year in May. And our desire really is to see pastors and missionaries and church members being trained in biblical counseling and see, like, I would desire a biblical counselor to for every church in Japan to have a biblical counselor who's able to meet the spiritual need of the churches for the church members.
So it sounds like that would be one way in which we can pray for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so as we finish up our time together, this has just been great. And I would love to hear from you ways in which we can pray for you.
Thank you. Would you like me to share different prayer requests right now?
That'd be great. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. Please pray for the next biblical counseling module training, number three, for next year in May. Now, this all depends on Japan, this country, opening up. Currently, if we have Joe Miller, Dr. Joe Miller, come visit us, he'll have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. So that won't work. So please pray that we'll be able to have this third training according to God's timing. It might be in May, we might have to move it, but that it will happen at the right timing. Next thing I would like to ask for prayer is for our online biblical counseling training. We did our very first online biblical counseling training in June, and we also had Dr. Andrew, we had you also as our guest speaker. Thank you for participating in that.
That was great. And we had a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. We had 462 people register for that. Unbelievable number. I mean, I thought maybe we'll have 100, maybe 200 at the most. We had double that. So God is really at work in this country. Pastors, Christians are realizing they need biblical hope. So we are now planning our second online training, maybe next year in January or February. So please pray for the preparation for that. Please pray for the speakers who are going to be involved with that.
We can do that. I appreciate you sharing those requests, and really just very encouraged by how God has worked in your life, this wonderful grace that he has done and given you and you and your family. And I lust, you know, think about what Paul said about himself, that it is Christ that he proclaimed, that he would warn, he would teach everyone. He would do that with all wisdom, with all godly wisdom, for the intended purpose of presenting everyone mature in Christ. And it just sounds like God's given you that heart, that is exactly what you want to do, and that you are, just as Paul said, you're toiling, you're struggling with all, and this is the great news, right, is that you're struggling
Yes.
with all his energy that he powerfully works within you. And so it's just a real blessing. I'm very encouraged by what you're doing in Japan, and certainly look forward to talking with you further about your ministry and about God's grace in your life. And just thankful for the time that you and I have had to talk with one another, and certainly look forward to doing this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, and thank you as well.
This is BC Worldwide, a podcast of overseas instruction and counseling. You can learn more about the biblical counseling movement around the world at bcworldwide.org. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of OIC, go to our website, discoveroic.org. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you'd like to receive regular updates on God's grace through biblical counseling, please sign up to be an OIC Insider by clicking the Pray button on our website. Lastly, will you consider giving to the efforts of OIC to train biblical counseling trainers around the world?
If so, you can give electronically through our website by clicking the Give button. Well, I'll share with you more about God's grace next time at BC Worldwide.